Thank you, Judith. And Craig, thank you for setting the stage on what is a very exciting and rapidly evolving field. I'm starting with this slide because this actually comes from New Orleans, and they had this billboard up. How many people in the room know what to do when they see this billboard? A lot of people, but not everybody. How many people knew what to do, would have known what to do 5 years ago? 10 years ago? Well, I started this way because I think it's important to recognize how new this field is, how fast it's evolving, how we are all learning new behaviors in order to take advantage of this thing that we're all carrying in our pockets. And NIH started the first mHealth Summit 4 years ago, and it was like the field suddenly started to grow up. It was a very exciting watershed, as far as I was concerned, when the bar was raised and said, no, we need to have evidence. We need to move beyond believing that this is an effective communication tool to really being able to show that it is. I'm sharing this just simply to show this is where we are right now in the U.S. with cell phones and with smartphones rapidly catching up. So as of September, 45% of Americans had a smartphone. And if you dig down in the data and you look at the work particularly that Pew has done, you'll see that the distribution of cell phones and increasingly smartphones presents particular opportunities for public health because, in fact, they reach populations that other technologies don't reach. I am a founder of Voxiva, a board member and an employee. I'm the chief health officer. And I will say when we started Voxiva 11 years ago, there was just incredible skepticism because people said, everyone's going to have a computer. And, you know, why fool around with this phone thing? And we were doing it in Peru and doing it with IVR, and it was really early days. It was pre-SMS in terms of, and so it's been very exciting to see this and to sort of see the possibilities that this presents when it truly reaches so many people. I will talk a little bit more about the partnership, but I've been specifically asked to talk about the technology that we provided for Text for Health. And so this is Text for Health. It's an interactive, personalized 14-week program that allows an individual to assess their own risk for developing diabetes. It connects the individuals to resources within the community. It allows them to set goals and track their weight, and it sends tailored educational and motivational messages based on their risk profiles. It was done very, very much as a collaborative activity, as Dr. McDivitt has discussed. And also very rapidly. It was first announced at the American Diabetes Association in June 2011, and the Centers for Disease Control, NDEP, NDPP, the American Diabetes Associations, the Office of the National Coordinator, and the three Beacon communities in New Orleans, Detroit, and Cincinnati participated. A couple months later, we had a stakeholder workshop to start to plan and develop the requirements. We started working together in a very collaborative fashion with the communities and with CDC and ADA on developing the messages. There was a prototype that was launched in November where it was tested in the communities through focus groups to get consumer input. It went live in January, and then New Orleans, Cincinnati, and Detroit launched it shortly thereafter. The content itself was based on the National Diabetes Education Program and the National Diabetes Prevention Program, because we found that in all of the work that we've done, it is very important to work with the best, the leading experts in terms of content, and to base it on that. It is nonetheless a challenge to take the incredible reams of studies that have been done and to turn them into 160-character messages. And we got really good. Not too long ago, I had to write something, and I actually counted. I had to write a sentence, and I counted it, and it was 159 characters. So it's sort of like embedded at this point. We had a working group, and with biweekly calls going through the messages and giving input, reviewing drafts, and then finalizing the messages. We also developed a way that communities could develop their own messages so that they could send additional messages out to users. These are the building blocks of Text for Health. First, the registration, the call to action that you saw on that billboard. They enroll, they're categorized, people are categorized by their risk, looking at height, asked to enter height, weight, age, activity level, gender, family history, and smoking status. There are then specific algorithms, which I'll discuss, that classify individuals into high risk or low risk, and according to weight. And as I said, there's goal setting activity, weight and exercise, education, and motivational messages, and local connections. This is just an example of part of the risk assessment portion of the program. Tell me about your family history. Do you have a brother or sister with diabetes? Reply one for yes, two for no, or three if you do not know. And based on all of those inputs, then an individual is assigned to a risk category. Individuals can set weight and exercise goals, and then on a weekly or biweekly basis, track their weight and track their levels of activities. This is the administrator's interface to set community messages. So this particular one, there's a 5K this Sunday at Lincoln Park organized by the Detroit Rotary Club. So the individual communities can set messages to go out to subscribers. And to delve just a little bit deeper into the diabetes risk, how the system assigns diabetes risk, after the individuals have completed the assessment, and it's asked over a period of weeks because we don't want to just like bombard people with a long questionnaire. You want to spread out the questions, and by the time it's, I think it's 5 or 6 weeks, and it depends on how many risk factors they have, but we will have compiled their profile, and based on that, then they can they will get a message. If they are high risk, they will be told to go to the doctor, but they will also be put into a protocol for messaging. This is how the risk algorithm works. This was developed by CDC, and where different points are given for each of the risk factors, and this is how we determine whether people were high or low risk and put them into protocols. And this is actually an example of the message that will go back to a high-risk user. Your answers are consistent with someone who is at high risk for type 2 diabetes. The first step is to see a doctor. Make an appointment today. Don't have a doctor, need more information, call a local number, and then they also receive a reminder a week later saying, have you made an appointment to see a doctor? They then receive, I'm focusing in on the high-risk messages, on ways to lower their risks in terms of education, on diet, on exercise, and so on. And again, these are done over a period of time. people, individuals are able to set goals, and they're prompted because many people who are heavily overweight set very ambitious and unrealistic goals. So based on the advice of our panel, we determine what a reasonable percentage goal would be, and that's how the system will suggest a goal. And then the risks then drive additional educational messages over the 14-week period that are specific to the risks that the individual is facing. We try not to send too many messages. Clearly, people who are high risk get more, but we also know that people don't want to be bombarded with messages, and so we want to make sure to space them out. One of the things that is exciting about this collaboration is the focus on evaluation. And I'm just going to talk briefly about the system data, because as you'll hear, that the collaboration is actually looking at multiple kinds of data in order to evaluate Text for Health. But the system itself produces an enormous amount of data. Every time a message is sent, every time a response is received, that is in a database. I mean, one of the things is obviously one has to protect the privacy of that data and to protect it. And so what people who are doing the analysis are using is only de-identified data, because clearly a cell phone number is a very, you know, sensitive piece of personal health information. But this is actually the screen that the three communities can use to export data from the system, de-identify data from the system, where they can look at participants by when they enrolled, how long they stayed in, what their baseline BMI was, and look at how they've changed over time. How are they using the system? Are they light users? Are they heavy users? So this is part of the data that the three communities are, in fact, using. It poses particular challenges because you have a constantly moving database. People are constantly coming in and coming out. And actually, one of the real benefits of this collaboration is the ability to work with folks, for example, at the Louisiana Public Health Institute, on how to deal with these complex databases. These aren't quite as large as the ones where you're, you know, getting glucose readings every, 20 minutes, or continuous glucose readings, but they are nonetheless large databases that need a lot of care and thought in use. So I'll just close and talk a bit just about what the partnership itself. We've collaborated on a number of different levels, certainly in conceiving this as a way of really trying to reach out on a population basis to help people identify whether or not they have are at risk of diabetes, to try to reduce the burden of diabetes in adult populations. And then to link these individuals to care and community resources. The partners really represent the full range of scientific expertise, public health experience, evaluation experience, ourselves on the technology side, worrying about both sending the messages, the links with the carriers, and also maintaining the privacy and security of the databases. And so it's been a very, very fruitful partnership, and we're going to hear from two of the partners next, Louisiana and Detroit. Thank you very much.